Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. Verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. That's something you can put in your notes, is that there's rarely a middle ground when it comes to Messiah. There's rarely anybody who stands back and says, well, yeah, okay, he was a really cool guy. He was a great prophet. He did all these miracles, but now I don't want anything to do with him. Usually, people are drawn to him or greatly repelled from him. Verse 44, now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. He's going to tell us in a minute why, so let's keep reading. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees. What do you know about these officers? They were sent to do what?
Arrest him.
They were sent to arrest him, and they come back without him. And he said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Look at that arrogance. What are they saying? The only ones who could possibly believe in this man are those ignorant hick country folk, the Amharites, the intellectually bankrupt. But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. And that's where I want to start a big old ibex trail here, because that is still the prevailing opinion amongst the unsaved Jewish people. I still have a copy of a full-page ad that was taken out in the New York Times. Must be back in the late 80s or early 90s. Where the Jews of New York City were kind of getting fed up with all these missionaries and people witnessing to them about the gospel. And it was a big old ad that said, you want to know why the Jewish people today reject Jesus as the Messiah? Answer, because our forefathers rejected him back in the day. Therefore, we don't need to consider the issue. In other words, these scribes and Pharisees we're reading about back in the first century said, he's not the Messiah, therefore we don't have to think about it. He's not.
So the arrogance continues.
I got to tell you, folks, when it comes judgment day and you have to stand before the Lord God, your pastor's not standing there with you. I'm not standing there with you. You're standing there by yourself. And you're going to have to answer for what you did or did not believe about the Messiah, Yeshua. How God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for us. And what did we do with that? What did we build upon the foundation? So the attitude amongst the non-believing Jews of today is, the Jews that have accepted Messiah have been misled because they weren't very good Jews. They were ignorant of the scriptures. They didn't know enough. It's the same argument that the scribes and Pharisees are using here. If you were smart like me, you wouldn't believe in this man, is what they're trying to say. But from the time of Messiah down through today, I want you to know that there were many very well-educated and very respected rabbis that came to Messiah. It's not that all those who've come to believe were ignorant, misled, duped people. It's not that way at all. And I'm just going to give you three examples. First one from my Jewish New Testament commentary by David Stern. I want to read about somebody called Rav Daniel. And Rav just means rabbi. It's a shortened, respectful way to say rabbi. And if you have a copy of the Jewish New Testament commentary by David H. Stern, I'm reading from page 233. For example, Daniel Zion was chief rabbi of Bulgaria from 1928 to 1948. He authored over 20 books, including the first translation of the Siddur, which is the Jewish prayer book, into Bulgarian. Sometime in the 1930s, he came to faith in Yeshua the Messiah. When Hitler wanted to deport the Jews of Bulgaria to the Polish death camps, Rav Daniel prevailed on King Boris II not to permit it. As a result, 86% of Bulgaria's 50,000 Jews survived World War II, a record proportionally better than in any other country reached by the Nazis except Denmark, whose Jewish community was only one-tenth as large. Later, leading most of Bulgarian Jewry, Rav Daniel made Aliyah, that is, he emigrated to Israel, and became rabbi of a synagogue in Yafo, which is Jaffa, just outside Tel Aviv. It's where the prophet Jonas hailed from. It says on Shabbat, he would conduct regular services in the morning and teach from the New Testament at home in the afternoon. He retained the respect of Israel's Bulgarian Jewish community, even though his faith in Yeshua was well known. And the author, David Stern, says, I met him in 1974, and he died in 1979, age 96. How will those who derogate Messianic Jews as Am Haaretz explain Rav Daniel's open and bold proclamation of Yeshua as the Mashiach of Israel? Well, they say he did not have enough Jewish education to make an informed decision. And he goes on. Another, because David is a Messianic Jew, of course. Another Messianic Jewish rabbi I want to talk about is Rachmiel Friedland. He wrote this amongst many other books, but this is one that's always been special to me. It's called What the Rabbis Know About the Messiah. He was a rabbinical student in yeshiva back. He survived the Holocaust, but he came to Messiah and decided he would write a book saying, here's the stuff we've known all along, all down through history. I don't know why we're not all saved, essentially. But before I read some of that, I want to read you some of his biography. Not too much, but just some. And you can find his testimony on the internet at www.messianicassociation.org/bio-freeland.htm, meaning come look at the paper at the end if you want to know. You can write it down. But it's entitled, Why Do I Believe That Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah? By Rachmiel Friedland, Holocaust survivor, former rabbinical student, and Messianic Jewish teacher. I first got to know him when he was a professor at Ashland Theological Seminary in Ohio. It says, September 1st, 1939 was a beautiful day in Warsaw, Poland. I was walking along Nowolipki Street, heading toward the Jewish business district, when the big rooftop sirens began to wail. Another air raid test, I thought. A half block further on, I heard the drone of airplane engines and then the heart-stopping roar of exploding bombs. Warsaw was under attack by German bombers. World War II had begun. I quickly took shelter in a nearby house, but not for long. Where could Polish citizens, especially those who were Jewish, find protection from the advancing Nazi juggernaut? Little did I realize then that behind the swiftly advancing phalanxes of the German military machines were the Nazi weapons of slave labor, starvation, torture, and murder for the so-called, quote, inferior races, end quote. European Jews have seldom enjoyed complete freedom, but there was no hint of the approaching Holocaust while I was growing up in a tiny forest village near Chełm, Poland. It was during the years following World War I when my father eked out a living for our family of seven by buying fruits, vegetables, and animals from peasant farmers and selling them to the townspeople. I progressed rapidly in my religious studies with the village teachers, so my proud father sent me, his only son, to a Jewish yeshiva in Chełm. You guys know yeshiva, it's like a seminary. He says, I was 9 years old when I entered. For 4 years I studied for the best part of the day and was well prepared when time came for my bar mitzvah. My father soon decided that I was ready for rabbinical school, and off I went to Warsaw, the capital. As I studied, perturbing questions began to creep into my thinking. Like small barriers at first, they began to loom larger. Were the Gentiles as terrible as my teachers said? Why did Christians follow the teachings of our Jewish prophets? Must the school discipline be so strict and unfeeling? Okay, he's got to throw in a little commentary there. A growing rebellion stirred within me. Gradually, without realizing it, I moved away from a rabbinical career. First, I left the highly regarded rabbinical seminary, which I was attending, for one which was less rigid. Then I shifted again to another one with still more freedom. Soon I was on my own in Warsaw. Looking for a place to stay, I was taken in by a Jewish tailor and his family. I soon learned that they were visiting a meeting hall where Gentile Christians were seeking to convert Jews. My new friends encouraged me to go with them. They said that I could help them answer the missionaries' claim that Jesus was really the Messiah of the Jewish people. So I agreed to go. So he's going to help them refute the claims of the missionaries. After the meeting, I talked with the preacher. He read several passages from the Old Testament that he said were prophecies about the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. And I could give different interpretations for all but one of the passages. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 26, told of the Messiah's strange departure from Jerusalem. It's actually, we'll go look at it in a few minutes. Since I had not studied the book of Daniel, why hadn't he studied the book of Daniel? They don't teach the book of Daniel in the yeshivas, nor is it in the reading cycle of the Jewish people. He said, since I had not studied the book of Daniel, I consulted Jewish commentaries. I found very little information on the passage in question, and none of it seemed reasonable to me. Passage which perplexed me reads as follows. 70 weeks, and you know it's not weeks as in we think of weeks, but weeks of years. 70 weeks of years are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. We talked about this section. This tells us that Messiah should have been crucified 2,000 years ago because he was. So here's Rockmail Friedland studying as hard as he can to understand Judaism, going, it's not matching up with the scripture. He said, this declaration raised many questions, but the one which puzzled me most was, why was Messiah to be cut off? What does it mean to be cut off? It means to be killed before the age of 50 with no descendants. Names to be cut off. He says, further study and reflection caused my ready-made answers to melt away. Realized that my objections were based mostly upon what others had taught me and not upon my own unprejudiced study of the Bible. The prophetic promises which appeared to be fulfilled in Yeshua were too numerous to be explained away. As I admitted these things to myself, I determined to read the New Testament to find out about this Yeshua. It says, I obtained a copy of the New Testament in Hebrew. As I read, I compared carefully the many references I found in it to the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament. He's looking to see are they accurately quoting, and you know what? He's finding they are. He says, slowly and clearly it began to dawn upon me that the New Testament was a continuation of the Old Testament. I reasoned that if the Jewish scriptures are true, the Christian scriptures are also true. From this it followed that Yeshua must be my Messiah. And then he goes on to talk about how he survived the Holocaust. But let us take a minute, go back to the book of Daniel, and make sure that we are very familiar with this passage of scripture. Because it tells us precisely when Messiah was to come. And precisely when he did. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And it reads just as he quotes it on his site. But in verse 25 it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 483 years. When was the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem?
457 BCE.
Approximately 457 BCE. Different people have different dates. 452. But everybody knows it was more than 450 years before the birth of Messiah. Mm-hmm. So 483 years is going to be about 30-some years after the birth of Messiah. It says, "The street shall be rebuilt again, the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, killed, but not for himself." I mean, he had to die for the sins of others, not for any sins of his own. Okay. Now let me just refer to a couple of things in his book here, what the rabbis know about the Messiah. If you remember last Saturday, I drew on a butcher paper a timeline that showed how the 6 days of creation followed by the day of rest taught 6,000 years followed by the Messianic kingdom. I wasn't making that up. That was a very ancient teaching. Let's see. Which paper did I put in here? Ah, here we go. It's right where my bookmark is. That's a little embarrassing. In the Talmudic portion, and you guys know what the Talmud is, it's the writings of the Jewish sages, it is written concerning the timing of the Messianic age. Quote, "The school of Elijah taught." Who was Elijah? That great prophet of old. He taught the world is to be for 6,000 years, 2,000 years empty without Torah, 2,000 years with Torah, and 2,000 years in the Messianic times prior to the coming of the kingdom. And oddly enough, it was 2,000 years from creation until the call of Abraham, and 2,000 years from that to the coming of Messiah. 2,000 years from that should be the coming of the kingdom. But this is also what the Jewish sages say. May they drop, meaning die, who try to figure out the end. For they say, since the time of his, Messiah's coming, has already arrived, and he did not come, therefore he will not come at all. They're saying, if you just look at the book of Daniel, Messiah should have come 2,000 years ago. Therefore, they curse anybody who tries to discover the time of Messiah's coming, because it's going to cause them to think that Yeshua was the Messiah. And they're right. It does. Okay. Enough of that. Would you say Rockmiel Friedland became a believer in Messiah because he just was too ignorant of the scriptures to know any better? No, I don't think so either. One more that I want to tell you about, not so much because of his prophecy, but because of who he was. You've probably all heard of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. Kaduri? He just died in 2006. Let me read to you about the Rabbi Kaduri from an article called "The Rabbi, the Note, and the Messiah" from Israel Today, a section on Israel News. So this is published in Israel. It says, a few months before Kaduri died at the age of 108, that's Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, he died in 2006 at the age of 108. Some people say 116. Because if you know back in those days, they didn't keep such good records when people were born. So they're going with the conservative who's just 108. Says he surprised his followers when he told them that he met the Messiah. Now Kaduri is an ultra-Orthodox rabbi, one of the most respected rabbis in the nation of Israel. And when he died, more than 200,000 people joined the funeral procession. That's how well-respected he was in the land of Israel. Says, Kaduri gave a message in his synagogue on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, teaching how to recognize the Messiah. He also mentioned that the Messiah would appear in Israel after Ariel Sharon's death. At the time he gave this talk, Ariel Sharon was in great health. Within a few weeks, Ariel Sharon was in a coma and stayed in a coma for 7 years until early of 2014. So back before he died, Rabbi Kaduri taught that he also mentioned the Messiah would appear in Israel after Ariel Sharon's death. And then the parenthetical says, the former prime minister is still in a coma after suffering a massive stroke more than a year ago, and he has since died in 2014. Other rabbis predict the same, including Rabbi Chaim Cohen, Kabbalist Nir ben Artzi, and the wife of Rabbi Chaim Knievesky. In other words, they taught that when Ariel Sharon died, it would be time for Messiah to come. But Kaduri's grandson, Rabbi Joseph Kaduri, who was a mere 80 years old, said his grandfather spoke many times. I'm sorry, this is the grandson, not the son, so he's younger than 80. Kaduri's son was 80. Said his grandfather spoke many times during his last days about the coming of the Messiah and redemption through the Messiah. His spiritual portrayals of the Messiah, reminiscent of New Testament accounts, were published on the website kaduri.net and NFC. Quote, it is hard for many good people in the society to understand the person of the Messiah. The leadership and order of a Messiah of flesh and blood is hard to accept for many in the nation. As leader, the Messiah will not hold any office, but will be among the people and use the media to communicate. His reign will be pure and without personal or political desire. During his dominion, only righteousness and truth will reign. Will all believe in the Messiah right away? No. In the beginning, some of us will believe in him and some not. It will be easier for non-religious people to follow the Messiah than for Orthodox people. The revelation of the Messiah will be fulfilled in two stages. First, he will actively confirm his position as Messiah without knowing himself that he is the Messiah. I don't agree with everything he says here. He will reveal himself to some Jews, not necessarily to wise Torah scholars. Can be even simple people. Only then will he reveal himself to the whole nation. People wonder and say, what, that's the Messiah? Many have known his name, but have not believed that he is the Messiah. The reason I'm reading all this is he left a note. He wrote it out before he died and said the note's not to be opened until a year after my death. And when they open the note a year after his death, what it says is that Yeshua is the Messiah. And they interview many of his students at the yeshiva that he led and taught. And they said, yes, he spoke many times that Yeshua is the Messiah. This man, so honored as one of the chief rabbis in Israel, honored by 200,000 at his death, was not an ignorant, unlearned person, but believed with all his heart that Yeshua is the Messiah, because he said he met him in a dream. Messiah presented himself to him and said, son, you best be ready, essentially. Okay, enough said. Let's go back to the scriptures. My only point for those departures was to say that, thank you, Jewish people who come to Messiah are often ridiculed by the non-believing community saying, you just don't understand the scriptures, or you never would have fallen for this fraud. That is not true. Many great rabbis down through the centuries have accepted Yeshua as the Messiah. Okay, back to John chapter 7. Verse 49, yes, dear. I was trying to decide whether to go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26 or not, and I will. When they say, but this crowd that does not know the law is accursed, they're referring back to Deuteronomy 27, 26. So let's go back and look at that. Deuteronomy 27, 26. It's right before Deuteronomy chapter 28, which everyone goes, well, duh. Which in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about the consequences of obedience, the blessings that will follow, and the consequence of disobedience, the curses that follow. But in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, at the end of all these curses that are shouted back and forth across the mountains, it says, cursed is the one who does not confirm or uphold all the words of this Torah. And all the people shall say, amen. So they're saying that these people who've become believers are accursed for their lack of knowledge of the Torah. and it simply isn't true, but that's what they believe. So back to John chapter 7. Verse 50. Remember Nicodemus? Here he comes again. Nicodemus, he who came to Yeshua by night, being one of them. One of them who? Members of the Sanhedrin. Remember, they just said, have any of the leaders of Israel accepted? And the answer is yes. They just didn't realize it. So Nicodemus comes and said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? What does Nicodemus want? He wants them to sit down and listen. Listen to what Messiah is saying, then judge. They don't want to listen to him. They just want to reject him out of hand. He said, no, our law doesn't work that way. You probably all heard an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, a man who commits murders to be put to death, etc. But people didn't just run around Israel throwing stones at people. It required going to court and presenting witnesses who would testify to the offenses. And then the judges who would seek out God's guidance and render a judgment as whether people were innocent or guilty. Is the way the system really worked. He's pointing out the fact that you first have to hear what the person's done, what the charges are, what the evidence is. They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Are they nice, open-minded people wanting to know the truth? No, they don't care about the truth. There's every indication in the scriptures that many of these who are condemning Yeshua believed he was the Messiah and condemned him anyway. Because they thought when Messiah comes, he's going to throw off Roman rule. Did these leaders want to throw off Roman rule? They owed their positions, their wealth, their authority, their status to Rome. So they didn't want the Messiah to come. So they don't want to hear him out. So they just ridicule him. You're also from Galilee. Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. What? Can you name me one prophet that's arisen out of Galilee before Yeshua? Sorry?
Nahum.
Capernaum, Capernaum, the village of Nahum is in Galilee. How about another?
Jonah.
How about another? Hosea. So this tells us that these religious leaders here that are talking, they're the ones who don't know the scriptures. It's not the people who are accepting Yeshua. It's these who refuse to hear him. They don't know the scriptures. And you can make a note, well, that's stuff. We know that those prophets at least were from Galilee. It says, and everyone went to his own house. Why did everyone go to his own house, do you suppose?
Passover. And they didn't want to
No, it's Tabernacles.
Oh, that's right. I'm not too early.
Yeah, it's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh day. It's getting late. The sun's gone down. People go back home. By home, I mean wherever they're staying in the Jerusalem vicinity. Many would stay in Jerusalem. Others would stay at Bethlehem, Bethphage, Bethany, the little surrounding villages, wherever they're staying for the festivals, because it's late. And chapter 8 continues, but Yeshua went, where? To the Mount of Olives. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.